Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You're listening to the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, where the cards are fun and the people are just a little bit crazy. This show is brought to you by Guild Launch. Slay more dragons with Guild Launch. Use the coupon code MMOReporter and get your first month free. By Doghouse Systems. Choose your weapon with Doghouse Systems. If you're looking for a new PC, you can go to doghousesystems.com and use the coupon code MMOReporter to double your RAM. And by GoDaddy, who will get you a new domain or transfer for only $2.95. Just click on the GoDaddy logo on MMOReporter.com or use the coupon code MMO295. Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast. I am your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I am joined by Matt Outlandish.
Hello.
Now, Matt, I have a little confession I have to say. I know your last name isn't Outlandish, but that's actually how I have you in my phone, because I have no clue what your last name is.
I don't have a clue. Actually, I take that back. You know, I went through the court system. It was a long process. And because I believe in my podcast so much, I have actually changed my last name to be Outlandish.
Wow. That's dedication.
I find that, you know, you have to brand yourself before you're willing to believe in a product, you know? So, like, Michael Jordan, he should, I mean, if it wasn't for the fact his product was named after him, Jordan's.
Yeah, he kind of got lucky on that one.
Yeah, well, he did, luckily. But I bet up until that part, he was changing his name to Wheaties. Or some other brand that he was having.
Yeah. I mean, and nowadays you can change your name pretty easy. I mean, you should pretty much do it before every meal if you're eating out, like Josh McDonald's, Josh Sahira's, you know, wherever you are, you should just brand it.
Well, I wonder if we're going to see, speaking of branding, I wonder if we're ever going to see like Hearthstone. Imagine we'll see tournaments forming, right? And then will we see like clans forming, and you'll see this guy coming up to the stage wearing like all these branded logos, Nvidia Monster and all this junk, and he'll have to like take on his persona of one of those companies.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Well, do you remember what was the company? So it was a game company there. They made Jason and the Argonauts, and they were offering couples in the UK money. No, it was Games for Life if you named your son Jason. Do you remember this?
That's it? Just Jason? I mean, nothing like that would be like crazy? I mean, like, I'd name my kid Jason. I mean, Jason's a pretty decent name. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's okay. But it's just the fact that you would have to admit to everyone that, like, yeah, I named him that because I got free games from this company for life.
Well, no, you could just go, no, I'm a really big fan of Friday the 13th, you know, or...
Okay, just don't tell anybody.
Yeah, you could come up. I'm sure there's tons of other good Jasons, right? I mean, surely there's like a name database where you can go look up historical figures that have the name Jason.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Hold on. I'm going to Google Jason Cool Guy real fast and see what we get. Oh, apparently it's a YouTube personality, Cool Guy Jason.
Oh, wow. That's really amazing. There you go. It just came up with a guy named Cool Guy Jason.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Oh, I wonder if you could... Yeah, well, I was going to say, I wonder if you could just... I mean, you won't really have to tell... do people actually talk about the origins of their names anymore, you know?
Well, it
comes
up at parties as icebreakers. You don't want to have to be that guy.
What's great is if you slap a junior on the end of it, nobody questions what...
Oh, that's true. That. Yeah. They'd probably assume you weren't the father if your name isn't Jason, but...
I think it'd be hilarious to name your kid, like, not even name him after you, but then throw a junior on the end of it. So you should name your kid, you know, something, you know, like, you could name him Jason and just put junior on the end of it, and people would be like, oh, he's...
Even better, put a senior at the end of it.
Oh, there you go.
Jason Senior? Yeah, then you've already made his decision. He has to name his kid Jason.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's destined. He's got his life laid out for him now.
Yeah, he's destined to have free games too. It's brilliant. You can start a legacy. or if you really want a legacy, call it Jason Senior Senior. You know, try and, you know, stack it on there so that it's two generations you're naming.
Going, looking at, I was just glancing over what I've written down for your show notes here. You, which by the way, are elegant and beyond anything of what I've ever compiled in my 239 episodes of Outlandish Podcast, which you can listen to on iTunes or wherever else you might find podcasts. But I made notes of this because you put target time length 20 minutes, max time length 30 minutes. Now I just want to point out, I went back and looked at all your other podcasts. And not since like episode 2 has any one of your podcasts been under 30 minutes, all right?
I know, and I hate that.
Hate that?
You're rubbing salt in my wound, Matt. I want this show to be 30 minutes, and I can't seem to make it happen.
I was going to point out the fact that how come when I come onto the show, you want the podcast to be the shortest possible?
Matt, I mean, I didn't want to have to say this in front of everyone, but your voice is grating. I can only take about 25 minutes. I mean, 30 minutes, I'm already, my ears are bleeding.
Yeah, well, that's why I have two co-hosts on my podcast. That way people can tolerate somebody else, but they can't tolerate me. Usually there's always the bad person out of the group, you know. Yeah. You'll listen to a podcast that has multiple people, and you'll be like, if it wasn't for that guy, I could probably listen to the full thing, but...
All right, Matt. Well, let's get into it because let's be honest, that 30-minute time length is probably more for me than for you.
Yes.
But we start off every episode of Happy Hearthstone with a reason why we're happy this week. And I'm going to say I'm happy because I got a stab wound in my magic pack at work for our sealed league that we're doing. And stab wound is like the inside joke at our office. For whatever reason, that and Desecration Demon. Those are two of the cards in kind of the newer sets. That every time you play, everyone just freaks out and goes like, oh, stab wound, oh, desecration demon. So I'm excited to throw that around at our games tomorrow and just, you know, build a fan base.
So are you guys playing like a league? Is that what you're doing where you get a pack every week?
Yeah, we started with you get the pre-release set. We all kind of go to the pre-release together, which is like 5 packs essentially. Mm-hmm. And then you start there and then we add a pack like every 2 weeks.
Okay.
So yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was going to say, I think Stab Wound is a great card, too.
It is. So good. And the art is fantastic. The lady is in pure agony.
I mean, that card is like, I mean, when you open up on it and you kind of want to just splash it into your deck because it's such a good card. I mean, it's going to cause, I think it deals 2 damage?
Get -2/-2.
Right.
And then at the beginning of upkeep of Enchanted Creatures controller, that player loses 2 life.
Right. I mean, I think it's for 3 mana, right?
Yep.
2 and a black.
Yep.
See, it's such a good card that you could just splash it. And I mean, you throw it on a wall, you throw it on anything that has 3 toughness, and
yeah, they're hating their life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the bad thing. When I played in the pre-release a couple weeks ago, I ended up having that thrown on like a 1/3 guy or something, and I was just like, well,
this guy's pointless.
Yep.
Yeah, it's so good. So, why are you happy this week, Matt?
Why am I happy this week? Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, 3-day weekend.
So, you got any big plans for the 3-day weekend? Any travels or anything?
No, this is the first weekend in about 2 months I don't have anything to do. So, I'm going to sit home and play video games all weekend. What about you?
I might go out of town. I might go see family or something like that. You know, it's one of those rare occurrences where you get to like go see family on a Monday or something like that, or stay over the Sunday, and do stuff on Sunday, like a cookout or something like that. So
nice. That'll be awesome. Now, is your family a card game playing family?
Not really. I'm trying to get the family into board games.
Okay. Yeah.
I was listening to, I think it was last week's when you were talking with Dan.
Yeah.
Is that right, Dan?
Yeah.
And he was talking about board games, and he went into talking about like card game board games, which are like deck building and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And talked about Ascension, which actually is made by some people that used to play Magic. I'm trying to think. I don't think it's John Finkel, but it might be Brian Kubrick or something. Brian Kibler, maybe? I don't know. Really popular pro players in Magic. And that's a really fun deck building game. I love deck building. Deck building, like drafting, sealed. And I'm really looking forward to Hearthstone, hoping that they're going to have, because I think they actually said they were going to have some kind of like, you get random stuff.
Yeah, so the Forge mode?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Forge mode, it's basically, like it's draft. essentially, okay. But you're picking from, you pick one card out of three. So you're given sets of three and you pick one card and you pick, you know, X number like 25 times or whatever. And then that's your, it's probably more than 25 actually. But then that's your deck that you play with. And then you play as many games as you can until you lose three times and then you're kicked out.
Now, I wonder how that's going to work with the heroes.
Yeah, that's a good question. If you could still choose a hero.
Yeah, are you still going to be, is it going to like, am I going to see like priest, hunter, warrior card in there? And I got to pick, like, is that going to be like, well, I just got to, take one of these cards no matter what. So I'm curious if it's going to be themed or whatnot, if they're just going to be all neutral cards.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't actually thought about that. I mean, I guess in theory you could like pick a class ahead of time or something. Mm-hmm. And then they only give you cards that are usable by that class or neutral or whatever.
Yeah, kind of like how the pre-releases were these past few times.
Yeah.
Where you would pick a guild and you would get like a guild pack.
Yeah.
That would be themed.
That'd be cool.
But I definitely think you should check out Penny Arcade Gamers vs. Evil or Ascension or some other games. They're available on iOS. So yeah.
I have
you might be able to find them on the Droid too. Oh, Droid. who gets the rights for that now? I guess Disney.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, everything. Because now that they don't have, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because they bought out Lucas, right? So I guess the rights to Droid transferred over to them.
So is Droid actually a trademarked phrase?
Yeah, Droid is. If you watch the Droid commercials, you actually can see at the very bottom. Trademarked by LucasArts or Lucasfilms. I can't remember.
Wow. That's incredible. I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until Droid started coming out, and then at the very bottom at the end of the commercials, it says Droid's a registered trademark.
Lucas, Sinbeck.
So I guess they get a little bit of that.
Yeah. All right. Now, let's get into it, Max. We got like 20 minutes to go, buddy. We're going to go over. I can tell already. But that's all right.
All right, come on, just rush. We'll come on, shoot them at me.
All right, we're going. No elaboration, just say yes or no answers.
Okay.
But before we get into this week's topic, I actually want to make a quick correction about our last show. In episode 8, Dan and I were talking about hero abilities, like Matt was saying, and we weren't really sure how the druid ability worked, and the wording on the card was really confusing. But thankfully, a couple superstar listeners chimed in and let us know exactly how the ability worked and kind of passed along a live stream, actually, where it showed it in action that I got to see. So I wanted to pass it along to you guys as well, listeners. So the Druid Hero ability costs 2 mana, just like all the rest, and it shapeshifts your hero into a bear for 1 turn that gives it 1 attack and 1 armor. And at the end of the turn, if you haven't attacked, you lose that damage, but you still keep the armor. So it basically lets you attack for 1 damage and block 1 of the incoming damage that you take in return. How's that make you feel, Matt?
Well, I was actually watched before we started recording. I watched a video of the druid fighting a rogue, mm-hmm. and he actually ends up clearing the board. So he's actually able to use that ability to somewhat good capabilities. But overall, I have to say that power just. You had made a comparison, I believe, to the mage, and the mage has the ability just to do 1 damage wherever it sees fit for 2.
Yeah.
To me, that seems a way stronger thing because you're not taking backlash from getting hit from another person's creature.
Yeah, because the way it works is if the druid when your hero attacks a creature, that creature fights back and it deals its attack damage back to you. So, if it's just 1 damage, then the armor will block it. Otherwise, you're taking damage, and in that case, the mage is just flat out better because it's the exact same thing.
Now, I will say, looking over the hero abilities, I believe the druid shapeshifting is better than the warrior. I'm always for being able to do something like 2-for-1. I think card advantage is definitely something that is very important in a card game. Mm-hmm. So, I was watching one video and a guy plays, Elvish Archer, I think, or whatever, for 1 mana. It's a 1/1. It deals 1 to anything when it comes in. Mm-hmm. He played it on the first turn. I was like, that's a waste of a card. To me, you hold things like that until, you need that extra point to kill off something. Like he has like a 3/3 with, it's already taking 2 damage or something. You want to get rid of the big things that have better abilities than just do 1 damage to your opponent.
Yeah.
So, like, the warrior, he gains two armor. I mean, I'm not a fan of the armor per se with the heroes and stuff like that. I'm more of a fan of I get to do one to somebody and I get a armor. You know, I mean, that seems way better to me than just getting one more additional armor.
Yeah, it's kind of a debate that's gone over in Magic too. I mean, life gain versus like board control. Like the idea that the mage ability can actually influence the board and change kind of what creatures are out there and what creatures are able to attack and whatnot. And the warrior ability is just kind of more health. But if you're losing on the board, it doesn't matter how much health you have, you're going to lose eventually because the momentum is just kind of in their favor.
Right.
That said, I think two health in a game where the health is actually capped, where it's actually very hard to increase your maximum health. Yeah. I think two armor is actually pretty impressive.
You really, I mean, you, so see, because that's the thing is I don't think the two armor changes the flow really as much as being able to do one damage at a certain time changes the flow. Like that's just going to, it's going to slow the bleeding. You know, it's not going to actually change the board that's going on. Whereas a druid, I'd rather pay my two and possibly take out somebody that just come in that has an ability that does something. And I mean, let's say it's a 1/1, you know, that makes somebody draw cards or something. I don't know. I haven't looked over the thing. But I did make a note that there are 25 total things with one toughness, 21 of which are neutral. So, I mean, that's 25 targets that you have that you could do with the druid.
Yeah, that's true. And the mage, too.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I understand your position, and I tend to agree that the mage has more potential, but I think the warrior is probably more reliable.
Right.
And of course, it depends on the deck too. If you're going,
looking at what the warriors have too, I mean, they have some pretty good abilities. So
yeah.
I was curious though. The druid, I was watching the rogue versus druid video, and for some odd reason, the druid started off at 35 life.
Oh.
I don't know why it was in green. The life total was in green, and it was after the... I mean, he didn't do anything, but he was... He had 35 life, and I was like, wait, I thought life totals were always 30.
So they were, but maybe that's changed.
Maybe at one point it was somewhat like Vanguard and Magic or whatever, where you had... or like Magic Online, where you have avatars, and they give you special abilities, like you change up your hand size or your starting life or whatever. So maybe I thought that was going to be like because I'm not sure isn't that the way the WoW TCG is? You have different life totals based on the hero.
Yeah, each hero has a different life total, and sometimes it's kind of arbitrary, but it's usually somewhere within like the 20 to 40 range,
right?
Somewhere in there. Now I will say real fast because I just realized this about the warrior: getting that armor on there lets you attack with the warrior, for free. So you are you could be dealing more than one damage for that in return, because it kind of frees up your hero to attack every turn without having to worry about, the damage coming back on him.
I guess so. You're right.
All right, but enough about this stuff. So just for the record, Dan and I talked with him about this. We're both boosting our flavor rating for the druid to 10 because shapeshifting is awesome and it's perfect for a druid. The power rating, though, we're dropping it to 3, even though Matt would argue against us. We both just thought that with how often it's going to hurt your hero to attack just to deal the one damage, there's just so many better options. All right. But this week, we're talking about Hearthstone's extensive roots. And sure, it's a brand new unreleased game, but the tabletop WoW trading card game has been around for years. And Hearthstone is definitely taking some inspiration from it. So we wanted to take a look at how that game influenced Hearthstone, how it's different, and what that could mean for the future of the game. So, Matt, tell me a bit about yourself, as a card and a board gamer, because I know you've played WoW TCG. In fact, you gave me almost all of my WoW TCG cards.
Yeah, I mean, I was when it first came out, I was super excited for it. But I think it's the problem with most introductory TCGs is the launching of it. I mean, it's so hard for, like, I know where I live, for a community to get behind something.
Yeah.
And usually, I mean, I was one of those guys that printed off the demo deck. I was like, oh my God, demo deck card. I can print them off. I'll put them in behind like Magic or in front of Magic cards and I'll sleeve them so we can play. And me and my co-host Justin, we were roommates at the time. We played a couple games. I really enjoyed it. But it's also like, you know, if you don't have, that's what's great about Hearthstone. I wish Hearthstone would have incorporated the WoW TCG. That way it can get like players into one side or the other and then try to transition them over to the other one. But I mean, yeah, I've played Magic since probably 99. I think that was around Stronghold and Exodus. So, I mean, I've been in Magic since then. And I've tried to play competitively. That's just, I don't know how much money I've wasted on that. That's sad.
trying to build the decks.
Yeah. I mean, and I had, you know, all kinds of old legacy cards, stuff from like Beta and Revised and all these money, you know, high dollar cards, you know, $100 cards.
Yeah.
And at one point you have to realize that you're not good at the game. You know? So I'm good at a local level, but I'm not good at to where I could actually play tournament level. Yeah.
Well, it's good you realized that before you sunk more money into it.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious how Hearthstone, if Hearthstone is even going to be able to transition to any kind of competitive play.
Yeah, they keep talking about like trying to turn it into an esport if that's what people want. And I'm still waiting to see if the depth is there for that. I really hope it is, the gameplay depth.
Well, I'm not really sure how big the WoW TCG got with its competitive gameplay. I mean, I know they have, I know they used to have like, I can't remember if it was like, they had like the carnival kind of like, I mean, what do you call the carnival thing? I can't, I'm not off the top of my head. You know, they have it WoW every month.
Oh, you know, the Dark Moon Fair.
Yeah, they used to have like Dark Moon Fair kind of like competition things for WoW TCG.
They still have that because there's one in Orange County every few months.
Okay. And I mean, I'm just curious, and that was the thing I was going to bring up later in the show, is like, I think that's definitely a way to like spice up the Hearthstone right off the bat. They need to have seasonal tournaments and stuff like that. Like, and maybe just a seasonal kind of special events where they put out just 20 cards that are related to like the quests and stuff like that, that they do every year, or, you know, for the WoW game.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be really cool. So Matt, before we get into it, what was your favorite hero in WoW TCG? Do you even remember?
Oh, no, I don't. I don't even remember. Like, all in my head, I'm thinking, like, I have pictures in my head, you know? Yeah. Like, Troll Guy, Orc Guy, Alliance Gnome, you know? I mean, I have... Yeah, it's... And I mean... And that's the thing. I remember you saying on this most recent podcast I listened to of you guys talking was, like, 4 out of 5 were orcs.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, why could you not pick any more different races? I mean, like, what?
Yeah. And someone brought it up that like Gul'dan and stuff that we were talking about like actually are important lore characters. So it's just kind of a bigger kind of a not a I don't want to say a failing, but kind of a bias in the lore in general. The orcs just are a big deal in the lore and the other races aren't. So I mean, outside of like before Varian Wrynn, there was like Jaina Proudmoore. That was like the only human that did anything. Oh, sorry. Arthas was a human. I forgot about him, but he's like an undead guy. He kind of counts. All right. But let's jump into it because I want to start talking about WoW TCG more. So WoW TCG was released in 2006, just to kind of give a summary for people that don't know what this is. It's a physical card game. It's made by Cryptozoic. It was kind of co-made by Blizzard. They kind of helped along the way. It's kind of at a high level view. It's similar to Magic, which is the big card game out there. You play mana cards, you play creatures and spells with that mana, and you battle. And the goal is to reduce the enemy player's health to 0. And it had a ton of in-game WoW loot. So Matt,
initially it was created by Upper Deck, right?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was initially created by Upper Deck because the game mechanics were taken from the card game Versus. Versus was all about Marvel, and then they incorporated Marvel characters such as Iron Man, Captain America, and stuff like that, and X-Men. And they took that, and then they switched it over to DC, and then after that, they incorporated the WoW TCG to use those game mechanics, such as the using any card you have as a resource, the attacking stuff, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then Upper Deck, I don't know if there was I never found out like the backlash, like what happened with Upper Deck, between Upper Deck and Blizzard, and then Cryptozoic come in, and they were like, Cryptozoic, I think, is like actually owned by some people that left Blizzard or something.
Yeah, it's Corey Jones, I think, is his name. He's the head of Blizzard. I'm looking that up. Hold on, Corey Jones. Whoa.
I bet that scared you.
It did. What is happening? I'm sorry. Is that Corey Jones?
You don't take a break right now.
Yeah, it is Corey Jones. Yeah, he's the president. Yeah, and he used to work at Blizzard. He was I think he's like a creative director or something over there. But yeah, so he heads up Cryptozoic now. And they're doing that other online TCG that looks pretty cool, Hex.
Yeah, I'm definitely curious to, and I think that's a Kickstarter, right? I think they're trying to start that. Yeah. I'm definitely curious to see how WoW gets incorporated. I can only guess that it's going to get incorporated, right?
Yeah, to Hearthstone, yeah, it's got to be. I mean, there's got to be in-game loot and stuff. And they've said that that's something like they want to do, but you know they don't have plans, quote-unquote, yet. But we'll see. You know it's got to be high up there because it's guaranteed to get people to play it. All right, Matt, so we've both played Magic, and it's... Is it fair to say that getting mana screwed makes you want to punch babies?
I mean, if not punch babies, maybe just, you know, shake them a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know which would be really worse. I don't know which would kill them faster, really, honestly, on that. I mean, I don't want to be like, I don't want to just like shake them just a little. I mean, just maybe like a Cabbage Patch doll or something. You know, just, But I mean, and it's... It's definitely, I don't know which is worse, the fact that you can't get it or you get too much of it, you know?
Yeah. And so, yeah, so mana screwed, just for people that don't know, it's kind of a phrase that means, a lot of times it means not getting enough mana. Because in Magic, you have to draw mana as a particular type of card. And you have to draw it and play it every turn. And so if you aren't drawing mana, suddenly you can't play, you know, the more powerful cards in your deck. And suddenly, you know, everyone else is outscaling you. Or you can get flooded with it, so your deck is all mana and no creatures, no spells. And it's basically, it's just a way for the RNG, the random number generator, to screw you over and make you lose.
Yeah, I definitely think in Magic, it's a lot more... I mean, I think bad players, such as myself, always want to like be like, well, I would have got it, if, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to go, I mean, I definitely think that's going to change with, I mean, it changed with when Versus come out and WoW TCG come out and they started making it so that you had alternate ways to get it.
Yeah. So how did it work in WoW TCG?
WoW TCG had, I mean, it worked to where you had cards called quests, which were really cool, which counted as you can put those face up. And I think I'm pretty sure you put them face up, right?
Yeah, you did.
I really enjoyed this because if you were a fan of WoW, they were just quests you've done, you know, like, try to think like the mechanical chicken quest, some other quests that are like really popular, like I think doing King Muckluck or something, whatever. I can't remember the guy's name. He's a card in this Hearthstone. I know that.
Yeah.
You play them face down, and they had objectives, and once you could meet those objectives, you'd get you gain something from it, and you'd flip it face down, I believe, right?
Yeah, you'd flip it face down. So like this one right here, this is called the Essence of Enmity. This one actually, all you have to do is pay 3 mana to complete it, and then the reward is reveal the top 5 cards of your deck, put a revealed ally in your hand, and the rest onto the bottom of your deck.
And they were just cool ways. I mean, it was just an extra bonus for having mana. You know, I mean, it's like, and that was what's good. And you could all, and if you didn't have a quest, you could just take any card from your hand and put it face down, and that would count. Now, you couldn't do anything with that card. You could never, unless you had some way to get it back into your hand or somehow. But from that point on, it was just considered mana.
Yeah, so it was a nice way that even if you did get unlucky and draw bad cards, you could always take a creature and put it face down and use it as mana. So it's kind of, you know, mana screw protection. And Hearthstone kind of is even taking it one step further where they're just getting rid of mana and you're just guaranteed to get 1 mana per turn. Do you like that mechanic?
I mean, I do like it, but then I don't know. I don't like the fact that it caps out, I guess, or
yeah.
I mean, there are some cards that let you gain additional mana crystals, but I mean, I almost, because from what I'm telling, from what I'm seeing, most games are going to last till 9-10 turns most likely and beyond. So the acceleration, I don't know if it's worth it in the end to accelerate up to one or two more ahead of your opponent yet.
Yeah, some of the games did end pretty quickly. Like on the live stream they did, some of them were probably closer to like seven turns or so. Okay. But yeah, I mean, I think it's always worth it. If you can throw out a, like a 5-5 beefer on like turn three or something, I mean, that's going to make a difference.
Right.
So
you definitely want to drop your, you know, Illidan and big legendary guys and stuff like that as quick as you can.
Yeah. I am a little sad to lose the WoW TCG mechanic, because I loved that it kind of, it made you make decisions. Like you could put that spell upside down and use it as mana, but then, you know, maybe you'll draw a quest next turn and then you can cast that spell instead. And so you're having to like kind of make these risk reward choices. And I liked that the power was always in your hands. It wasn't ever like, oh, well, I didn't draw it, so there's nothing I could do. Oh, I didn't draw it. And then you're forced to make a decision. Do I sacrifice it or do I deal with it? I'm a little sad, you know, that Hearthstone is just kind of get one mana every turn. But, I mean, it is nice that you can just focus your deck, I guess, on creatures and spells and kind of on the more quote-unquote interesting cards.
I definitely think that they'll probably incorporate quests some way into the game, either multiplayer or making it a secondary win objective. You know, maybe you have a certain number of quests, and if you complete a certain number, you win the game. You know, they might make kind of like how poison is in Magic.
Yeah.
So maybe like if you complete 5 quests or 10 quests before your opponent does, or before you get down knocked to zero, then you win the game.
Did you ever play Plane Chase mode in Magic?
Yeah, I mean, well. Now, is that the one? No.
That's the one where there's like, so there's a big set of cards in the middle that are essentially different locations, and you flip it over, and then it's a location, and that location has effects like all creatures with flying get +2/+2, all creatures without flying get -2/-2. What if it's like a mode where it's like a quest stack in the card, and you flip it over, and it says like, the first person to play 2 creatures on a turn completes this quest, or something, and then you get in, and then it's like the first person to collect 5 quests or something that way.
And so then would it be the first person to get to a certain number, or would it be best out of whatever, whoever won the majority?
Oh, yeah, it could be like best out of 5 or something like that. And so maybe if like you think you won't be able to complete 1 quest, you kind of, all right, so don't even pursue that route. Don't start throwing casting spells like crazy. Hold off, and maybe you'll get the next quest or something like that.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
That would definitely be a unique way to do multiplayer or... I'd like to see maybe like an arch in like a raids come into effect.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that for sure.
Okay.
All right, so up next, release schedule. Now, WoW TCG has a history of kind of releasing new sets in blocks, right? They do it exactly like Magic, right?
Well, I mean, I was doing a little research on that because I'm not familiar with the WoW TCG, and it looks like recently, since I guess October, they've started. Pretty much, it looks like they've been doing blocks. Like after they have these 3 sets named Aftermath, then 3 more sets named Time Walkers.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like they've started to take on the form of blocks. They've definitely been keeping up with a 3-4 set release every year.
Okay, and that's what Magic does, and it seems like it's a fairly reliable way to do it. The way these sets normally work, for people that aren't familiar with card games, is that usually, so we've kind of covered this before, there's constructed mode and sealed mode and draft mode and all that sort of stuff. There's usually a mode that just involves the newest set. And you only play with those cards. The previous cards basically don't exist while you're playing in this mode. And then there are modes that incorporate all the cards. But that just seems weird to me in Hearthstone, because so many core spells have already been said, you know, like Immolate and, you know, Challenging Shout for a warrior. It would feel weird to do a new set and not have those abilities.
I guess I'd have to know like the current state of the WoW TCG, like how they're handling it right now. But I mean, the good thing about it right now though is the fact that we won't have to deal with this for like a year. They can figure this out. They've got time to figure it out.
Do you think they'll go a year with no card updates?
Well, no, but I'm saying you have with Magic, you know, Standard consists of the 2 most recent blocks.
Yeah, that's true.
So you have a good, you know, year to 2 years before that many cards have come out for Hearthstone.
Yeah, before they start, you know, kind of putting some in the back burner.
Right, right.
Okay. All right. So would you want to see them do that? Is it even feasible to not do that? Could you just have an ever-growing card pool? I don't think so, right?
Well, that's a thing they run into with the Magic Online is that it's the great thing about Hearthstone compared to Magic Online is the fact that this one's initially starting off as online only. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't ever run into out of print, you know?
Yeah.
That's what happens with Magic is that they actually have to print physical content. So in order for them to print the new stuff, they have to take the old stuff and quit making it. So, but that's what's great about digital is you don't run out of that. You don't run out of printing, you know? You can't.
Yeah. I'm sorry, your bytes are full. There's no more pixels.
So, I mean, they can keep this, and usually that's where people are like, oh, well, I can't get the old cards, so
yeah.
It makes it kind of hard for me to be competitive with all these other people that have the old cards. So I don't think they're ever going to have to run into that issue with it just being just online only.
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah, you won't ever have those cards that are costing, you know, thousands of dollars like some of those crazy ones are in Magic.
And I really don't think they can do it without, if they do start like eliminating cards or they start making it so that cards aren't available as much, they have to turn trading on.
Why? Why then?
Well, because it's not fair for me to come into a game and not have any way to get a card.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I think you'll always be able to get cards. I think what they'll do is kind of add modes, essentially, where like, okay, this is the current set. So you can either choose to play with the current set or the old set.
Yeah, I definitely think they'll definitely have like formats.
Yeah. Formats, that's a good way to put it. All right. So another difference kind of between WoW TCG and Hearthstone, this is probably the biggest difference, I think. Aside from quests, and quests and mana is a big difference too, instant speed versus secret cards. So WoW TCG and Magic had instant speed cards, and what that means is spells could either be, you know, instants or sorceries is what they're called in Magic, and that either means the instants can be cast anytime, no matter what's happening. So if you're in the middle of combat, it's right before they deal damage, you can choose to cast an instant spell. And then other spells can only be cast, you know, on your turn, kind of before combat, during the designated, like, this is when you cast spells section. And Hearthstone has no instant speed cards, so you can't ever interrupt your opponent and be like, hey, hold up, I'm casting the spell. When it's their turn, it's their turn, and they get to do everything. But Hearthstone has secret cards. Do you know how these work, Matt?
Yeah, it's pretty much just you put them face down, you play them on your turn, you put them face down or away from everybody, and it just marks your character, I guess, that you have a secret.
Yeah. And then there's like a trigger effect on it. And so the trigger effect is like when the next minion attacks or when someone tries to deal damage to you. And then when that trigger happens, the card flips over and its effect immediately happens. Is this a good enough replacement for instant speed cards?
Now, see, I mean, before we started recording, you had mentioned that you liked this ability, right?
I do. I think it's very cool.
See, I think there's a lot of strategy involved, like with Magic and being able to do something on somebody else's turn, like it, because there's a lot of bluffing, you know. I mean, that's what's great about it, is like you see me play like a burn spell or a counter spell or something like that early on in the game, and then later on I have untapped mana or I have mana available during your turn. You now have to start playing cautiously. You know, you have to start picking and choosing what you're willing to sacrifice if I do have something to do.
Yeah.
And when I was watching the video, I couldn't, as far as I know, it just triggers automatically on the first thing that happens.
You can't choose to not trigger it. It will happen whenever that happens.
So, I mean, I just, that right there is like, ugh, I don't even want to, I mean, like... Because, like, somebody would play, like, I'm going to play this ability right off the bat because I got one mana and it costs one mana. And you're like, no, that you want to wait till they get to like six mana or seven mana to do that, because it does something against big creatures, or, you know, it does something against more, you know, you want to save that for when they have a chance to actually play something.
Yeah.
So I definitely think there's going to be ways to play around it. Like, I mean, if I know you played something, a secret on fifth, you know, five mana, then I know I'm going to try to want to put out like a weenie, you know, a one casting cost thing first before I put a big guy out.
Yeah.
Because I want whatever to happen to trigger on my little guy than the big guy. And that's what I don't like about it. It's like, I don't get to pick when it happens.
Yeah.
It's like having, you know, an artifact destruction in your hand and they put out like a zero casting cost bobble thing or something and it blows it up, and then they drop like a colossal guy and you're like, wow, it's great. I love that. I didn't get to pick which artifact it blew up, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It does put a lot of power in the opponent's hand. And one of the troubling things for me was during the live stream, the devs were playing as a hunter. They were playing against someone. They played a secret card, and it was a snake trap. And I forget how snake trap works, but it's like, you know, the next time someone attacks, a minion attacks, yeah, you know, he gets a ton of snakes. And the guy chose not to attack for like three turns. And then finally the dev was like, oh man, he probably knows we have a snake trap. And it's like, if there are so few secret cards that you, right, can kind of guess, especially if the mana cost is different, if you can kind of guess which ones they have based on their class and how much mana it cost, then it's no good. There has to be enough kind of variations that there has to be like that constant doubt. Like, because if you could play a trap, if you could play one of three traps, one triggered if you played a spell, one triggered if you played a minion, one triggered if you attacked, like, if you don't know which one of those it is, you're going to be hesitant to do all three. Right? And that alone is powerful.
Well, I mean, yes, but then I think really not being able to pick when you do it, yeah, is a really letdown. Like, it's just, I mean, it should, like, I really wish it gave me a prompt. Here's something, you know, like, do you, mm-hmm, want to activate it when that happens? And like, I just say no. So that's even more meta now, because it now that person's like, oh, okay, I'm safe to play something.
Yeah.
And you're like, nope, no, you're not, because I just chose not to do it right then.
Yeah, that would actually be, that'd be really cool. For whatever reason, there's some sort of development rule kind of within the house, it seems, that you can't ask, the other person can't make any decisions when it's not their turn. Yeah,
they can't interact at all.
Yeah. And so, all right, so are you saying this is terrible? Is this really bad?
I'm not saying it's terrible, because at least it's something.
Yeah.
That happens during, I mean, it's an event that can happen during somebody else's turn, but it's not something I'm super enthusiastic about compared when you look at what the other options could be.
Yeah.
You know, it's like getting handheld through a game. Like, I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's just not good.
Yeah. I will say I don't like it nearly as much as instant speed cards. But I think it is interesting, and I think there'll still be interesting things to do with it.
Yeah, it definitely, I mean, and that's the thing too, is like, these game mechanics that we see right now are so limited by what we're, I mean, like, we don't even, they've only scratched the surface pretty much.
Yeah.
Of what they can do with them. And there might be a secret that comes out that actually says, you know, it lets you pick or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And I think that's good. They're kind of starting their scope small. And that's good, because that means they can add kind of new mechanics and focus new sets or something on mechanics as they come out. I think it's probably smart to do it that way. All right, so a couple other things that are in WoW TCG and Hearthstone that are different from Magic and kind of other major card games is you get to choose what your creatures attack, and creatures have permanent health. Did you like how this kind of worked in WoW TCG?
Well, that's what's great about it being digital, is the fact that it's all kept up for you.
Yeah.
You get to see it visually.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because on the tabletop game, you had to, like, put little tokens and stuff.
You had to put, like, little tokens on it to mark that, oh, this one's taking 2 damage or 3 damage. Yeah. And that's another thing, is, like, when you're playing Magic or something, somebody, like, gives something a -1/-1, and they're like, oh, okay. Or something is given something a permanent effect of +1/+0, and people will try, they'll use something to like signify that they're getting that bonus. I've had people where they use six-sided die and they just use like the die as like their power or toughness.
Yeah. But then that gets confusing as soon as it's right. like a 3-4 or something. Right. It's like, okay, which dice is which again? I forget.
Right. I mean, I definitely prefer Magic's format of like somebody having to kill something with one hit or, you know, in one turn, should say.
Where all the combat happens at once.
Yeah. So like in Magic, you can deal, you have a turn pretty much to deal lethal damage to a creature. So like my guy can do 3 damage to it. Then I can do 1 damage to kill a 4 toughness guy. Mm-hmm. Whereas this format makes it seem like it's more, kid friendly, you know, like it's like, oh my God, somebody dropped an 8/8. I'll never be able to deal with it with my little guys, but over a period of time they can deal with it.
Yeah. Now see, I don't get the kid friendly at all. I love this. This is probably my favorite change that they made. Because as the attacker, it was always super frustrating to me that you just had to send them out into the wild and then the defender gets to make all the decisions.
Well, I mean, that shouldn't that be how it is? I mean, it's kind of like how we would make jokes and WoW about how you would aggro, you know, you'd be level 85, 90, you know, and you would aggro level 3 guys when you ran by them. It's like, I mean, but isn't that how it, I mean, like they should be trying to defend, right? I mean,
they should.
Nobody would just stand around and be like, you know what? He's way too big for me. I'm just going to just like let him hit my guy back here. That's cool.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's why you have creatures with like taunt and stuff that force you to attack them. I like that a lot. Right. Because when, as the attacker, if I'm going out to go do a dungeon run, I'm not just like casting spells randomly. I'm targeting like, okay, that's the healer. I need to take him down. Okay. That's the tank. Don't hit him. Hit the, you know, the DPS that's killing our priest.
Yeah. Mark, I mean, you can, I'll probably be wrong on this completely because I'm terrible at TCGs, but I think taunt is going to be probably one of the most used abilities.
I think so too. I think it's incredible.
I mean, I definitely think with, if they're, I mean, is taunt specific? Is it class specific?
No, it's on a bunch of neutral minions too.
Okay. So I definitely see like, maybe a mage focused deck with taunt creatures in it.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's going to be, has a lot of spells to cast.
Yeah.
Something that, and wants to protect their other creatures that provide them with bonuses. Like I was watching the mage one and he had like a creature that gave him, a fireball every time he cast a spell.
Yeah.
And he had one that would like give him spell power or something like that. So it'd boost up his stuff. And I definitely think those have a lot of synergy with stuff like taunt because it just it lets you keep your guys out there longer that you want.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think it's going to be a great, it's not an instant spell, but it's going to be a great kind of combat trick in that way where you play your big beefy dude and then you throw out like a cheap little taunt guy. And like, oh, so now they have to waste their turn killing that taunt guy while your big guy, you know, survives for an extra turn.
I do like the ability of being able to say what my guy's attacking, like what my creatures are attacking. But I think there should also be some. See, and that's another. There's no player interaction during another person's turn. There's just none.
Yeah.
And I miss that. Like that's what I love about WoW is like, you're not just getting up and walking away from the computer during somebody's turn. You know,
mm-hmm.
You actually have to do. I mean, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be, I'll do something. Somebody's going to get up and walk away from the computer. I'm going to have to wait for their timer to go off or whatever for them to, you know, whatever. And
yeah. Then, and you know, it's going to be, if someone's losing, they're going to basically walk away and stop doing their turn just to, you know, just to mess with you.
Yeah.
That happens in pet battles already. And it's like, really, I have to wait like 15 minutes to fight through these guys' AFK pets. Ugh. So, all right. So permanent health. We didn't really touch on that so much. Do you like that as a mechanic? I really like that.
It's, I mean, like I say, I feel like it kind of, my big guy doesn't feel as strong as he should.
Yeah.
Because he can still get beat up. He can still get beat up on before he even sees the light of day. You know, like.
Yeah,
he,
but every time they're attacking that big guy, he's dealing his full, you know, 8 damage to him or something. So he's killing like 5 things.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty good.
I just hate for it takes. To me, it takes away a little bit of strategy. Like, people won't be as worried to throw away their polymorph, you know? They'll be like, well, I got 3 guys out there right now. I don't really... This polymorph just makes something a 1-1, so I'll just blow it on something. Whereas, like, I like to see people... You only got 2 polymorphs in your deck.
Yeah.
Use them... I mean, hold them until, like, you know, 6-7 plus mana... So you know you're going to keep it for that guy.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I don't see why anyone would throw away a polymorph.
You'd be amazed.
Well, yeah, sorry, some people will. Yes, that is true. All right, so let's get into kind of the hodgepodge, everything else. All the other elements that WoW TCG has that are not in Hearthstone yet, I want to see if we want them to come to Hearthstone, Matt. So, more heroes. WoW TCG has tons of heroes. Do you want to see more, or do you like kind of the iconic, you know, one for each class?
Well, I was really hoping that they would extend upon the heroes and maybe make it like race and class, you know?
Yeah.
So I get to pick the orc and it would have a bonus, and then I would pick hunter and it would have a bonus, you know?
Okay, interesting. Okay, so you'd actually have racials in there, you think?
Yeah, I thought it was a really good way to like add way more variation on the card game itself.
Yeah. Now, we know that the WoW devs don't like racials in WoW. They think it just adds so much headache. So it'll be interesting to see if they think a card game would be very different. Because I think that sounds great. That'd be really cool.
Well, I played a card game. It was called DBZ, Dragon Ball Z. And what you did was you picked your race or your faction guy, which would be like Saiyan, human, Namekian, stuff like that. And then you'd pick your character, and then with that you'd have a theme to your deck, which would be a race, or a mastery they called it, which would be like Saiyan, Namekian, blue, different colors, and your deck had to be oriented with that mastery, and you got a bonus from that with your mastery card, and it gave you something specific.
Yeah.
And then your hero guy had an ability that he could do. So I'd like to see like a race ability, and then a class ability.
That would be really cool. I'm on board. How about raids? WoW TCG has raids, which is a really cool thing where this is another thing that'd be much better in the digital than on the table, where you could buy like the Onyxia raid. And Onyxia had her own deck and all her own kind of special mechanics. And someone would have to play the Onyxia deck and then be, you know, 3 people with normal decks battling against it. I think this is a no-brainer. Like, it has to be one of like the first Hearthstone expansions or something, right?
I mean, definitely, but I think the programming on that is just so complicated.
Yeah, the AI to figure out what to do.
I mean, it's just, if you let an opponent control the raid deck, it probably wouldn't be so bad. But it's just all that stuff acting in the screen, what's going on with the screen. Also, the turn sequence, I guess, would be kind of wonky. I guess.
Oh, like whose turn is it? You have to wait.
Or maybe go in sequence, like left to right. I don't know. And then, but I really think, you know, with what they're doing with the backgrounds, that would be really cool.
Oh, yeah. So it actually looks like you're in Onyxia's lair or something.
Right. And, you know, you have like the whelps to the left. Oh, don't, or eggs or whatever. And you click on them and some little whelplings will come out.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome. Like secret cards scattered all around. And no matter like what, when you triggered them, it just brought in more whelplings.
Right.
Every time you do everything, whelplings. Yeah,
every time you summon something, it brings in more.
Yeah.
And then it'd be really funny because you'd have depending on how many people are in this raid, you'd have the one guy that had to deal with them on the left side. You'd have the one guy that has to deal with them on the right side. But I definitely think, and then you could also come out with them just like expansions come out or patches come out.
Yeah.
And that would definitely be really cool to incorporate it that way.
Yeah. Actually, you just reminded me, too. One of the mechanics that isn't on this list we should talk about in Hearthstone is how position matters, where, like, cards will say stuff like the creature to the left gets its own bonus.
Yeah.
Have you played a card game that has that before? I haven't. It seems kind of cool.
Yeah, not really. I mean, Magic is similar to that. It used to be like that with the graveyard. You know, the top or the bottom. Or
oh, okay.
The bottom of your deck or below your deck. I mean, it was like that, but nothing left or right because you place the cards however you want to place them.
Yeah, I like this idea.
I don't really know how that works in the Hearthstone either, though. I mean, can I pick where it goes?
When you summon it, you can put it where you want, but you can't move it afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can summon something in between two creatures and stuff like that, but once it's there, you can't like shift it around.
Okay.
So I like that. That adds another strategy element that kind of I haven't seen in a card game before that I really like.
It would be interesting to see somebody like kill off their own guy because they want it to shift over to the left or the right.
Yeah, totally. Because like one of the demons for the warlock gives like +3/+3 or something. It's like you got to get that on the right guy because that is powerful.
Yeah, I think what is it? They showed the Void Reaver.
Yeah.
That gives plus, or it eats two of them or something like that. Eats the one to the left and the right.
Yeah,
or
and
something.
It gains their power and toughness, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember what. Void Reaver is apparently that giant monster that killed us all in Hellfire Peninsula.
Today they showed a new background.
Oh, cool. Which was it?
Not Arathia. It had water. Stranglethorn Vale. Stranglethorn Vale.
Oh, cool.
Because it has a Nessun Wary, a waterfall, a jungle statue with a ruby eye or something, and then I can't remember what else. It's one other thing in the upper right corner. I can't remember what though.
That's awesome. All right, so a couple more things we want to get through. Different health totals on the heroes. We kind of mentioned this earlier. Do you want that to come into Hearthstone?
I guess I'd have to see the cons of it.
Yeah. Yeah, because it would be tough. I guess it would have to be tied to the hero power, so maybe the hero power is a little different.
The problem is that you always have to balance the balancing.
Yeah, it's
and it's just like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It seems like it'd probably be more trouble than it's worth.
Right. Because
it's really not that big of a deal. All right, how about in-game WoW loot, or StarCraft loot, or Diablo loot?
That's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. Do you want stuff in Diablo, WoW, or StarCraft to give you things in Hearthstone? Do you want it to go that way, too, that you unlock cards by playing those other games?
You know, none of that bothers me, as long as there's alternate ways.
Okay.
There's not just one way to get it.
Yeah.
Like, I shouldn't be, like, forced into playing StarCraft in order to get a certain card.
Yeah.
That was one of the bad things with the Dragon Ball Z game that I played, was that there were certain cards you could only get like in certain ways. Like they incorporated their card game with figures, toy figures.
Oh.
So you had to go out and buy toy figures in order to get a certain promo card. And some of those cards would be like really ridiculously good. You would only get certain promos if you won tournaments or attended tournaments. You would only get certain cards, you know, one out of X amount of packs.
Wow.
So, I mean, like, once you take away the ease of getting cards and you make it into more of a chore, you kind of lose player base, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Last one, talent specs. So the way talent specs worked in WoW TCG was essentially you had cards like, I'm trying to think, Unstable Affliction. Actually, here, I have one. Siphon Life. This is from my Warlock deck. It's an Affliction ability. So once you put this card in your deck, you cannot put any Demonology or Destruction talents in your deck. So
right,
you kind
I mean,
of have to choose. Yeah, do you like that?
Yeah, I mean, it goes a little bit back towards the whole class and race thing I'd like to see happen. I mean, you just when you create more options, I think you open the door to way more card deck types or deck types.
Yeah.
So I'd definitely like to see more ways to open up the what deck to play.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think talent specs will definitely come as an expansion feature at some point in the future. Because it's the perfect way to add new class cards.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Matt, it is that time of the show. I think you know what to do.
All right, here we go. It's the card of the week. Yes, the card of the week. Hey, it's the card of the week. It's the card of the week. That's all I got for you.
Dude, that's good. It was vaguely sensual, too, which I liked. It was nice.
Oh, I'm trying to... next time I'll go for like a little Kenny G. No way. Yeah. That'd just be...
Get some saxophone?
Yeah, it'd just be sax. It'd all be... Because he doesn't sing at all.
You could do it in like Morse code with the saxophone or something.
Well, that'd be... Yeah. I'll do an 8-bit.
Yeah. 8-bit
card of the week.
Awesome. All right, so the card this week is Shadow Form. This is 3 mana cost. It's a priest-only spell. When it comes into play, your hero ability becomes deal 2 damage. So if you remember, the priest ability is normally heal 2 life. So it changes to deal 2 damage. And if you cast Shadow Form a second time, your hero ability becomes deal 3 damage. What do you think, Matt?
Well, see, this is where I did a little research. Now, there are 25 cards, 21 neutral with 1 toughness. There are 29 cards... 24 neutral with 2 toughness. So, I mean, I think in this retrospect, I'd much rather play a mage if I was wanting to go that route.
Yeah.
And free up 2 card slots and just deal 1 damage. Then, and I mean, I like, to me, what's funny is like, it's me going against what I said previously in the show, so I'm not even going to say it now. I was going to say, I like the healing of 2 better than I do dealing 2 damage.
Do it. That would join go, us. Join
that
us.
That would go against everything I argued about the warrior, so...
I mean, just keep in mind that, I mean, unlike Magic, in WoW TCG and in Hearthstone, players can choose to attack you directly at any moment. So, I mean, you right. will be taking more damage. It's not... I think board control is less important in Hearthstone than it is in those other games.
Right. And there was a I was looking it up, a priest specific card.
Mm-hmm.
Achenai's Soul Priest, which has 4 casting costs, and it's a rare, and he's a 3/5, 3 attack, 5 health, for 4 casting costs, and he makes card and powers that heal do damage instead.
Yeah, so you think that's maybe even a better...
I mean, I'd rather have that card in my deck than Shadow Form. I mean, you're probably going to have both of them anyways if you're going for that. But this guy, he's at least a 3/5 guy that can attack, take damage. He's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes my hero heal. I mean, do 2 damage now.
Yeah. Yeah, other than this, which is 3 mana to... Essentially, would you say that deal 2 damage is equivalent to healing 2 life, or how much more powerful is dealing 2 damage?
I definitely think dealing 2 damage is way more powerful than healing 2 damage. Okay. Like I say, the dealing changes the board, where the healing just prolongs it.
But you can heal your creatures, too. It's not just heal yourself.
That's true. That's true. But once again, I'll reiterate, I mean, it's if they're already doing damage to it, I'd rather kill the guy. I'd rather kill their creature that's doing the damage than me just heal my guy for 2.
Yeah. Yeah, because if they want to kill it, they'll still find a way to do it.
Yeah, and if you kill theirs first, that's just way better for you.
I'm going to guess that you're a very aggro-type deck player. Do you like red-black and Magic?
I played red-black-green at the pre-release.
Yep.
Because I love creature kill.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, and if I can, because there's a lot of tricks involved. You can just like 2-for-1 and 3-for-1. It's just a lot of interesting stuff you can do,
yeah,
with your damage and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I tend to be the more defensive player, but I do like Shadow Form. I should say, as far as I know, this is a permanent change. Spells in Hearthstone kind of come into play, then they go out of play, but their effects stay. So unless there's another card that changes it back that I don't know about, it changes forever and you can't like swap between the two.
That was one thing on a card that a guy played, like when you're this minion attacks, you draw a card or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was going to be persistent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess.
Yeah. Everything in Hearthstone. Do I want to say this? Yeah. all of the effects like that that go onto cards are permanent. They don't have anything like enchantments or anything like that that can kind of drift off or anything.
I guess it puts text on the thing when you hover over it, so you'll see that they can do that still. I mean,
yeah, it does put the text in. I mean, that's another great thing about the digital version of it. Like, it physically changes the card so it looks exactly like it should.
Now, from what I understand, when you run out of cards, you reshuffle again, but then every time you draw, you lose a life.
No, at least in the last live stream, you don't reshuffle. Just every time you should draw, you start losing life. And the life you lose each turn goes up. It starts at 1 or 2 and then increases by 1 every turn. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty much a countdown timer because you will die after, 10 turns or so of drawing max.
Okay.
Or not drawing. So I will say, for Shadow Form, dealing 3 damage for 2 mana is insanely good. Like, that's incredible. But is the difference between that and healing for 2 life worth 6 mana and 2 card slots? I think that's a tough call.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is like, how often are you going to get to 3 damage before you're dead?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You could get there on turn 4.
And not to mention, you're having to pay 2 every time, too.
Yeah, yeah, you have to do the ability to do the damage. Yeah.
So you have to, I mean, that's slowing you down from playing anything else in your hand.
Yeah, that's true. All right, I agree. So Shadow Form, controversial. I think that's one of those things, like, I think someone's going to build a deck around it, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be awesome. But we just don't know what that deck is yet.
I definitely, like, I'll give the flavor like an 8, but I'll give the usability of it like a 4, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I played a Shadow Priest. That was my first thing I ever played when I was in WoW.
Yeah.
So I like to see them trying to incorporate it. I just think the cost, I don't know. It just doesn't seem on par with what else I think it should do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those cards, like, I wish it did something else too, so that it had an immediate impact, even if you can't use the ability.
Like, me personally, I would say it should make everything you cast damage instead of heal.
Yeah, like that, like the Akanai Priest.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll agree with your 8 for flavor. Usability, I think you said 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll actually agree on that, too. We are of the same mind. I'm copying off you. All right, so we're going to have full show notes along with the links to all the videos, tactics, and information we have about Hearthstone on the blog, gamediplomat.com. Just swing by there and click up Hearthstone at the top. We'll have an image of Shadow Form and all the other stuff Matt and I talked about this week. Most importantly, though, we'd love to know what you thought of the show and what you'd like to see added in future episodes. You can contact me directly on Twitter to let me know. I am at jaugustine, or you can email me, ajosh@outlook.com. Where can people find you, Matt?
You can find me on Twitter, @OutlandishMatt. And they can also, I think I'm on Facebook, so look for @OutlandishMatt. Do you want me to plug my show now?
Yeah. What are you doing?
You can listen to us on iTunes, Outlandish Podcast.
Is it just a general gaming show? Because it started out as a WoW podcast. You still talk about WoW sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, when Jeremy's on the show, we talk about WoW. But aside from that, yeah, I mean, it's generally turned into like a kind of a nerd kind of show, I guess. We talk about video games and movies and stuff like that. Just general stuff that's going on.
Yeah. It did start around the time Burning Crusade came out. Is that where you got Outland, I assume?
Yes. Yes. It did start around right towards the tail end, I think, of Burning Crusade.
Nice. Awesome. And their podcast is one of my favorites that I've ever listened to, so I highly recommend listening to it. Their chemistry and their back and forth when they're talking is incredible.
Yeah, I can't wait. I mean, I can't wait for Hearthstone to come out. Maybe I can get the three of us to all start playing it so we can have really good chemistry and talk about Hearthstone.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on that. That'd be so good. And just to hear you guys argue and then go off on tangents about Shadow Form for 45 minutes.
I'm curious. I wonder if you're going to be able to, like, I assume you'll be able to do the draft, the forge thing with friends, I assume. I mean, like,
right now, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's just going to be random.
Yeah, we got a Twitter response. I was talking with one of my buddies about it on Twitter, and we were kind of looping in the official Hearthstone thing, and they wrote back and said, not at launch. No, you won't be able to do that. So that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it is. I mean, because that's fun. I mean.
Yeah. Man, I would do that. I would sit. I would, you know, on a Friday night, spend a couple hours doing that with buddies, just do Forge a few times.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon. Hey.
And I wonder if Forge is going to be pay. I mean, I guess you'll have to pay for that?
To do it, you basically have to put in 3 packs.
Okay.
And so you can either buy those packs or you can earn those packs by playing.
And they haven't said what the cost of it is yet, have they?
Pack, they said it's going to be about $1. It's not finalized, but it's $1 and there's 5 cards in a pack.
Okay.
All right, so... Oh, yes, and if you want to talk about stuff like Matt and I are talking about right now, you can join our Google Plus community. We're talking about Hearthstone all day, every day, and sharing lovely pictures. Just go to Google Plus. Oh, what?
I was going to say, I'm surprised you don't have a Twitter for the podcast or Game Diplomat.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of tweet about it on my own account because, I don't know, I figure people don't want to, like, follow me and, like... 3 of my different podcast Twitter accounts. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, what if they're just fans of just Hearthcast or Hearthstone?
Yeah, maybe. I just want them to follow me on Twitter, but I guess should I do a show one?
So you're pretty much forced to, like, all right, if you want to know about Hearthstone, you're going to have to listen to everything else I got to say.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't like manually, like, update, I mean, multiple accounts. Yeah, I would just definitely forget to do it, and I would tweet on the Hearthstone one maybe like once a week. But hey, if you want a Hearthstone Twitter account, if you're listening to this and you would follow that, but you don't want to follow me, send me a message. Just let me know. Send me an email if you apparently hate following me on Twitter. Don't send it there. Or post in the Google Plus and just let me know. I mean, if there's enough interest in it, I can get one going.
I only bring it up because I was going to mention I'm on your show, but I didn't have an @.
Yeah.
Happy Hearthstone to like to do.
I'm sorry.
So I just had to do Mr. @ J. Augustine.
So you're falling into my trap already.
Yeah.
Good. Talk about me, Matt. Yeah, don't talk about the show. I am this show. Wow.
All right.
That's a lovely note to end the show on.
You are what makes this show, right? I mean, you're the focal point.
I'm 50% of the show.
It ought to be called Josh Augustine's The Happy Hearthstone.
Yeah, and Josh Augustine will be the big letters and Happy Hearthstone will be small. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's like Sid Meier's Civilization.
Yeah.
It's on that same level.
Right there. And who was it? Oh, God. People are going to hate me for that. Mr. Tabula Rasa guy.
Richard Garriott.
Richard Garriott.
Yeah, Richard Garriott's Tabula Rasa.
Who did, speaking of Richard, who did Richard, I think it's Richard somebody, did Busy Town?
Busy Town.
You don't know Busy Town?
No, that sounds like you're making up like a preschool game.
Or Busy, oh God. It had a worm in it and it had like these cat people and okay, whatever.
Dude, sounds like a freaky game.
It's a Nickelodeon show and it's Richard somebody's Busy Town. I don't remember. And that's just being overzealous, right? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, no. I mean, if 9 out of 10 people don't recognize your name, it should be on the box.
Yeah. I'm not just going to throw my name on something and people go, oh, yeah, well, that guy, he's known for stuff.
Yeah. Thanks again for visiting Josh Augustine's and Matt Outlandish's The Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Well, I got a question though, real quick. Am I going to be on next week again too?
I wasn't planning on it. I can have you on in the future. I got.
Oh, well, I thought you had me scheduled for next week.
Yeah, but then we moved it to this week.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
yeah, I've got someone lined up for next week, but
okay.
I would love to have you back on. And hey, if you want to hear Matt again, we should make this into like a, some sort of reality TV show.
Like who's getting voted on to the show?
Vote for Matt. Dial in. Vote, you know, number 7 is Matt. If you want to see him. And if not, we'll toss him to the rhino pit.
You're going to kick me out. No.
Snuff out your torch real quietly.
All right. Well, I had a great time recording.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Matt. And yeah, we'll have you on definitely in the future.
I'll just have to plug the show like crazy. Thank you. Hello.
Hi. Goodbye.
Yes, it is. That's what I was going for. I'm number one. Never again will a show go over an hour long. Yeah.